It's Monday, June 23rd, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we continue our study in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, with part two of last Friday's message titled, A Preview of Coming Attractions.
Right now, you walk through a veil of tears. It's the valley of the shadow of death. This is not glory. And we face death and affliction and woe and sorrow. Through much tribulation, we enter this kingdom. But there is a time coming, very soon, when we will be with Him with resurrected bodies. And that is certain. That's what's coming.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
His clothes became white as light. Mark even says that it had the consequence of making his clothes shine so absolutely white that, as the gospel, another gospel writer records, so bright that like snow that no launderer on earth could have ever made the clothes this white. Blinding were his clothes. The disciples wake up to essentially Jesus on fire and not consumed. His whole appearance changes so that they saw in him the radiance and purity of his, for a moment, splendor and glory, as much as they could handle it, of course, without being consumed. His human nature, think about this, his human nature appeared on fire in transcendent glory. Now remember the struggle. Who do men say that I am? No. Who do you say that I am? Well, they just confessed it. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Do you remember in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, when anyone saw a glimpse of the glory of God, what happened? Isaiah, remember, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each having six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." In Revelation, you have the same sort of scene of the risen Christ, who is on fire. Pure white, his hair, eyes like a flame of fire, feet like burning bronze. And as soon as John saw a glimpse of that, whoosh, on the ground, face to the ground, thinking he's going to die. That's what Isaiah said. I'm breaking up. I literally am breaking up in the presence of the Lord. A curse is on me in his presence. None of that was seen in the days of his humiliation. He had no beauty. Isaiah says that we should desire him. Nobody ever looked at Jesus and said, "Wow, there's the Messiah." He didn't choose to look like the warrior he is. Everything about him was veiled. And this was the most extraordinary moment of pulling back the veil in the ministry of Jesus for his disciples. When you looked at Jesus, he didn't look like anything. He was a Jewish man. And he didn't take an attractive body. Now, at this point, it's important to remember what the Bible says of him. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the brightness of his glory. Paul would later say, we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now imagine waking up to this. They're at the height of discouragement. They've not been listening. They've been unable to hear. And look at the compassion of our Lord as he gives them a gift right now. He gives them a great gift right now. And this gift was not just for them. This gift is for you. That's what I want. I want in all discouragement you to come back to the transfiguration and say, I've never thought of it this way, but now this changes everything. In the moment of their greatest discouragement, he pulls back the veil for them. And they get the preview of what's coming. They saw him in the glory for a moment that he had. Just a glimpse, just a little glimpse. I don't know how to communicate this, but the glory that he had with his Father before the world was. And this was probably the most terrifying experience for them in their life. Matthew says, when they heard the voice from heaven, they all dropped in great fear. Now think of the warning Jesus just gave in the previous section. The Son of Man is coming with his angels in glory. And then he will render to each person according to what he's done in this life. That's scary stuff. We read right over that. There's nothing hidden. Here's the moment captured. Here's the moment. And what does he say to them? They're terrified. And his words to them are, arise, have no fear. Have no fear. He is not against them. And that is really important for us, especially when we have failed him, which Peter had just done. But Matthew is focused on the major encouragement given to the disciples, the encouragement that was intended for them. And now that they would understand a vision of who he is. So they had just confessed him. They had just confessed who he is. And now he shows it to them for a minute. Why is the transfiguration so important for us? Because he had just said, I'm going to go die. I'm going to die by the hands of our chief priests. And in the next scene, what do they see? Resurrection glory. In other words, he just showed them the end of the story. Matthew says that Jesus explained this in connection with the resurrection because then he said, tell no one that you have seen this until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Then they would go proclaim this to the ends of the earth. We'll get there. They needed this, though. They needed this to strengthen their faith. That is so important when you know the end of the story. And as they're standing there, all of a sudden, something happens. They look up and they see these other figures with him. Elijah appears and Moses appears in resurrected bodies. Now, this is, again, a preview. They're having a conversation. And they're not consumed. Behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decrease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. You know what the word for decrease is? It's Exodus. Moses and Elijah and Christ began to talk about the Exodus that's about to happen at Jerusalem. The Exodus. His death. Future glory is here in a moment, though, captured. The glory that comes in the resurrection. Now, you see why they were discouraged. It's precisely because they hadn't accepted the life that Christ had just described or the life that he had for them. I'm going to suffer. And then he said, and if you're going to be a follower of me, you're going to suffer. And here is Moses and Elijah and Christ talking about transcendent glory. And what happens? Peter kind of walks up, stands up. I don't know how it went. Excuse me? You wonder if all three of them stopped and looked at the moment. It must have been an awkward moment. You've just interrupted the conversation. He didn't know what to say. Lord, it's good that we're here, isn't it? I'll tell you what, let's make three tents for you. One for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you. And maybe Peter was thinking, wow, Jesus just said we would see him in the glory coming of his kingdom. Here it is. It's come. Let's make it happen right now. Well, Jesus here in his kingdom glory is being shown. I suppose I would have thought the same thing. I would have thought, it's over. It's over. Kingdom is going to be set up on earth. And you see their confusion over Elijah. This section ends with everyone teaching, remember, believing that Elijah must come first. And Jesus says, Elijah already came and they killed him. And finally, they understood he was speaking of John the Baptist. Well, here they are. Elijah is raised. Moses is pictured as raised, talking with Christ. Let's get the kingdom started then. And at this moment, something happens that they never forgot. This changed their lives forever. This is just overwhelming truth. Peter is rambling, not knowing what to say. All of a sudden, a cloud shows up. It's the Shekinah glory, the Spirit. We read throughout history about this. The Spirit of glory overshadows and envelops his people. All of a sudden, from the cloud, a voice comes with power. And they heard the voice of God the Father. As if he said, enough talking, Peter. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. I'm pleased with him. Listen to him. Now remember what he had said. If you go back to verse 21 of the previous chapter, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, must be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. They wouldn't hear it. I'm telling you that without death, there is no glory. And you too will suffer and then enter into my glory. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. I will return that where I am, that you may be with me in glory, but this is first. There is a day coming when we will see our God face to face. This is the encouragement of the vision today. This is his intention in the vision for you. Listen, many of us hurt. Many of us struggle through the sufferings of this age. We really struggle with death. We are hurting because God's ways are confusing to us. And many of us have lost loved ones suddenly and surprisingly. And then we carry an appointed cross. And none of this seems easy. None of this seems like it goes very well. His ways are confusing to us. This is the whole story of our lives. And here's the Father saying, listen carefully to my Son. Listen. Right now you walk through a veil of tears. Here it is. It's the valley of the shadow of death. This is not glory. And your life patterns my life, says Christ. Not to pay for sins, but you suffer. And we face death and affliction and woe and sorrow. Through much tribulation, we enter this kingdom. And that, you know how many forms that comes in? But there is a time coming very soon when we will be with him with resurrected bodies, and that is certain. That's what this is saying. That is certain. And you can't die anymore. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You will finally put away the body of sin and death, you and your loved ones. You will enter into glory, and there will be resurrection of the body from the dead, and you will see Jesus immediately. You will know him immediately. You will see him as you've always wanted to see him, and there will be no more confusion. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more sin. You see, beloved, we need this vision just as much as they did. That's what's coming. That's what is. He gave them the power and strength to go on. But you see how uplifting the transfiguration was meant to be for them? It's future certain glory. Once Jesus had fulfilled his mission and all of that power, think about how that power preserved them and carried them, as Peter spoke about. But then, as we read 2 Peter 1 this morning, here's the latter half of that chapter. Listen carefully to it. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased," we ourselves heard this voice, born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain. Now listen to this. You know you have something more than this? And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which, listen, you will do well to pay attention. Where did he get that? You will do well to pay attention to the prophetic word that is more fully confirmed now than it was that day on the mountain. As a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. You get it? We didn't just make up some fancy story here, right? We saw with our eyes the glory, and the Father spoke to us, and now we have the word confirmed. So the pathway for you is pay attention to that prophetic word that is that voice. It is your lamp shining in the darkness until Jesus comes back in glory. That's what's keeping you. Don't you need that? You got to pay attention to that word, or you won't make it. That word is your light. That word is your life. Hold that word through much hardship and tribulation if you're going to be stable in the Christian life, as we talked about. You got to give yourselves to listen carefully to the word, because the valleys only get deeper. The hardships only grow harder. The sufferings seem to only get worse. The confusions at times only seem to grow. And you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. Get it? And yet the Lord says, "I've given you a light shining to you every week in the darkness." That's why the apostles gave themselves to preach the gospel. They heard in the gospel the voice of Christ. And today the Father says to you, "This is my Son. I am well pleased with him on your behalf. He did it all. And because I'm well pleased with him, I'm well pleased with you. Okay? I've said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have what? Overcome the world. This is a vision meant to encourage you today. This is the end of the story. You don't have to be in wonder about that. It's not like that's left in question. It is the end of the story. You see the end of the story. We're going to be with him in glory. Some of you suffering in the pain of loss and death and affliction and hardship, remember this. It's just a little while. This is what Peter says. Just a little while. And then we're with him. And then we're forever in a place where no more sin, sickness, darkness, death, hell, none of that. This vision was meant to encourage you. So hold on to it. This is your future by faith. This is your future. That's how good he's been to us, to show us this, of the resurrection glory that awaits all those who love him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a glorious text this morning. And we pray that the truth of it would strike our hearts and that we would have confidence in the valleys, that there is a great mountain that awaits us, where we will forever gaze our resurrected eyes on the Savior, and together with all the children of the Lord, rejoice in that day of your great work. Thank you for showing us the path of the cross as a way to glory. May we accept the crosses that we have to bear, recognizing that in them you are working in us a great and exceeding weight of eternal glory for your praise, your glory, and honor. Help us to hear and listen to the prophetic word that has been confirmed more fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.